students might be listening to this. They want to be in showbiz promotion, and you were a promoter. Any advice to them? Is that a cruel, tough world to be in these days, even to get into it?
Well, it's very difficult to get in with major acts because they're really monopolized by large firms. There's so much money. But that doesn't preclude them from going to a bigger city that has major acts and present major acts to apply for a job. One of the best fields that they could get in, I think, to be exposed to the business now that you have building management firms such as SMG that manages the BOK Center in Tulsa. They have close to 200 buildings that they manage, and they have to fully staff these buildings when they get contracts. Not only that, but they have hundreds of employees in each city, and they have attrition there. So I think that maybe as far as getting into the business, applying with someone like an SMG is certainly a way to be exposed to it. And they hire people all the way from box office to marketing people to event coordinators that help with details. And that would look very good on a resume to say that you had been with a firm. Plus, they may want to stay with the firm because they have a lot of good perks.
Go back to your staff again, the names that worked for you back then.
Well, John Walker. John and I were Sigma Chi fraternity brothers back at the University of Arkansas. When we had the Tulsa Speedway, I really felt the need to pull someone else into the business. John had just retired out of the Air Force. This was like in 1970. Not only did we have the Speedway, and we were very involved with the convention center, had many, many events each month, but Oral Roberts had just committed for Mabee Center and approached us to come into Mabee Center to help design the building and open up the box office in Mabee Center. So we had that on our plate then. In fact, the gold seats below the walkway and the blue up above, I can remember coming up with that idea in the architects meeting, because if you don't have a full house, the blue kind of fades away. You don't really see it, so it doesn't look as bad. Now with the BOK Center, they have a curtain that drapes it off, so you don't see an upper level. Plus, we went in, and they provided us with lovely offices. And I actually moved my office from the convention center and had John Walker, that I hired, to be at the convention center outlet. And I went to Mabee Center for several years and had a lush, lavish office then. And we had a direct line on the phone where we just pick up the phone and it would immediately ring at the other one's desk. So we were out there helping them get situated, helping with their box office, running the box office, helping contacts, bringing promoters in and doing that.
It's interesting that Oral reached out to you.
They came to us. Don Moyers, their attorney, contacted us, and we went out there. In fact, I got to know Evelyn and Oral while we were out there. John Walker had an office right next to mine. In the mid-70s, when the Oklahoma City opportunity came along, we had Mabee Center offices. We had convention center offices. We had an office that was not permanent, but whenever there were shows at the Fairground Pavilion, we would man that office for shows like during the Tulsa State Fair. We ran all those. When Oklahoma City came around, I had to hire another person, I thought. So a friend of mine said, well, you should talk to my younger brother. And I said, I didn't know you had a brother. He said, yeah, my brother, Jeff Lund, just graduated from OU, and he's working at a local clothing store here. You ought to talk to him. So I talked to Jeff Lund in the mid-70s, great personality and everything. During the interview, I was making some notes. I said, what's your birth date? And he said, November 11th, 1952. And I said, well, mine's November 11th, 1942. So that was exactly 10 years. We celebrated our birthdays every year together, still do. Jeff went on, worked for us in Oklahoma City, and ran that office till the early 80s. And then his family had the Interurban restaurant chain. They wooed Jeff away from me, and Jeff went into the restaurant business and came over here with the Interurban and Outer Urban at 71st and Yale till the late 80s, when the Tulsa Oilers were going to start again the Central Hockey League. I had one of the owners of the league call me and want a reference on Jeff, and I said, He'd be great. He'd be great. So they hired Jeff as general manager, and he, after that, in several years, bought into the business and still to this day runs the Tulsa Ice Waters.
Let me bring you back to the Mabee Center. You sat in on many architectural meetings then.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's neat that Oral had a lot of respect for Carson Attractions.
Well, it was an honor, and I had some illness in the family, and Oral and Evelyn both had heard about it. I think someone in my box office, the word in the grapevine, and all of a sudden one day I was out there and they knocked on the door because it was locked. Not that they would have to knock, it's their building, but they came in and I was rather surprised. He would come down, oh, maybe a couple of times a month just to stick his head in. He'd be visiting Ken Tricky next door or whatever. But he and Evelyn were there and came in and wanted to pray for the illness that existed in my family. So that was very nice. They were really wonderful people.
That's great. Unless we can think of anything else.
Oh, I do remember a neat thing that happened, an occurrence. There was a Broadway show called Hair. Hair was well known around the United States because they had a nude scene in Hair. Hair was booked into Tulsa Municipal Theater, Convention Hall, Brady, whatever. This would have been in the 70s, early 70s. And not knowing what was going to happen, Roy Saunders, the director of public events that ran the convention center, John Walker and myself went to Fort Worth, Texas to see the show. And it was nothing really, dim lights, etc. It wasn't really to stop the show because legally they couldn't in Tulsa. But we did want to know what the show was going to be like. And they wanted a lot of bad, not bad, but controversial publicity before the show came because that helped sell tickets. And they got it. In fact, the Ku Klux Klan was out in front of the theater, the strange group to petition, but they were out in front of the theater condemning this. And in the middle of the show, the first performance, one of them was trying to crawl on the stage with a placard to protest Hair being in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That was an interesting occasion to have the Ku Klux Klan involved with the Broadway show Hair.
So they were bigoted against nudity?
Or I think maybe because it was a, quote, hippie-oriented show.
Okay.